them out of the grandstands of heaven, and they could come and talk to us. And so if you would, I believe Hebrews chapter 11, 39 is on the slide. And if you guys are adjusting that, I understand, and you're trying to help me. So Hebrews 11, 39 on the big screen, or the half a screen now. And not one of these people, even though they lived their lives of faith, were exemplary. Yeah, Noah was, Sarah, Abraham, Esther. These are all people of God. Got their hands on what was promised. But God had a better plan for us. Why does God interject them with us? Because their story is part of our story. That their faith and our faith, do y'all get that today? Amen. Would come together to make something completely whole. And I'm so thankful that my story involves the great story of Noah and the worldwide flood. My story involves Abraham, the father of many nations, and that their faith is not complete from our faith. Isn't that incredible that you would be known in the giants of the faith? That you would be known as exploit people, you, ordinary me, would be something that God could do, catapult on the scene all of a sudden and make you from a zero into a hero. I'm preaching 85%, then you're saying amen. 85% better, but the choir is going to go with that. What I did right now with the sermon is I rebooted it, I remixed it, and some of you lifers are going to say, yeah, didn't he do that sermon? Didn't he do that like 20 years ago? and I did, but I didn't. Is that okay? Because there's some stuff that's just, it has to come back. It's like mama's arroz con pollo. Give me a good amen. Mama's chicken mole, whatever, her potato salad. You got to bring it back. Amen. And so I'm bringing it back even for the newbies here. Amen. And you're gonna say, well, you didn't miss a thing. Amen. If you came in the fourth quarter of the game, you still get to win. Amen. Give me a good amen. So in Hebrews chapter 12, the next slide, it's a continuous thought. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, which means the people of faith, remember Abba, Ama, Grandpa, my great-grandpa. I always think of them and I think, you know, what was my great-grandpa like? Where was he from? How did he do it? Where was he living? And, you know, we go back to this Ancestry.com thing, and how many know they're not hurting, amen, to make any money? They become billionaires overnight. And so we all want to know our lineage that way. And but can I announce to you have a holy ancestry? No matter what ancestry you came from, God has marked you as a child of God, and you have the royal blood of heaven. Amen. You're doing well living faith today. Amen. And so there's this great cloud of witnesses that are beyond your grandma and grandpa, and they know that life. So they say, throw off everything that hinders you, and because they know how life would be hard and how the sin that so easily, they knew all of them, Abraham, David, they all had these things that entangled them. But they said, you know, beyond that, I made it and you can make it. So you got to run the race with perseverance because it's marked out for you. And so now that their earth journey is done, we bring one more guy down. And Jonah's coming down and he's talking to us today. And what would he tell us today? He would say, open up your Bibles to the book that's written about me. Jonah chapter 1. Would you look at that Jonah chapter 1 with me? Yeah. Are you there with me? And it's going to be on the, oh, you know what? I didn't get to do this. And why is that on there? No, that's not a fluke. Amen. You're thinking, oh my God. Somebody take that off the screen. No, no. Jonah chapter 1, go there still. And have you ever made a bad choice? If you're like Jesus, can I go to lunch with you in this room? Because you're going to levitate. We're going to float. Everyone's made a bad choice. Don't look at her, sir, right now. Don't look at her. Amen. And I so what I got, keep turning the slides to that one bad choice that guy made at Topgolf. Come on. You were there a minute ago and people thought it was wrong. Now you're stuck again. Okay. Well, the photos I got for you, there it is. How many know this guy's about to make a bad choice? Yeah. And only that sort of person would do that. I don't know. That's probably in Kentucky, right? Topgolf, Kentucky. Can I see the next slide? Amen. If you're from Kentucky, I'm sorry. Thank God Facebook's not going today. Amen. How many know these guys are about to make a bad choice? Yeah, yeah, very bad. I wonder what's going to happen. Amen. Maybe it was just there's another bad choice all of us have made. Let's look at the next one. I think I got about two more. Now, they counted. There's one rider. There's a driver that's steering. There's another little head right there, three. Do y'all see four? Yeah, mama probably. And then five, amen, junior on the back. But notice they circled something, and that's a seatbelt, amen. So they're going to be all right to their assignment. They're going to get there, but anyway, we've all made bad decisions. How about, I think we got one more, right? Don't we? Yeah. Yeah, those guys, that was the 1980s, amen. And that one guy knows at the very end it's not going to end well. Yeah. That is real bad, yeah. How many of all made a bad choice at least once in your life? Would you be honest in church? Everybody honest? Yeah. And so how do you recover? How do you recover from bad choices that you make in life? I think Jonah would tell us this. Our very first thought would be this. So when you made a bad choice, God always gives you a second. He sure does, doesn't he? By the grace of God, we're where we're at, right, everybody? I love the Bible. Jonah, there's a book. Everything that I've learned about leadership has been birthed in the Bible. Everything that I've learned about how to be a better husband has been written in the Bible. I know that there's other books, but the Bible is the book that leads it. It begins. There's always a starting point. If you want to know how to be successful in life, read the Bible. Get devoted to the Bible. You want to have a good marriage, read the Bible. The Bible will change you. The Bible. And so there's a powerful story in Jonah chapter 1. And if you're there on your devices or in your Word, if you're going to go in your Word in the printed book, you're going to probably have to go to the table of contents. It's kind of hard to find, but thank God for YouVersion or Bible Gateway. It punches up automatically. But on the big screen, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah. God speaking. He was a prophet of God. So this wasn't just some guy that was walking, you know, chewing bubble gum, eating a tuna fish sandwich, you know, down the street. God had a purpose. There was a plan. This was a guy that heard from God. He was a prophet of God. And so, go into the great city of Nineveh. And the great city of Nineveh had this background, pagan, wicked people, brutal people. When they would take over lands and conquer territories, they would torture people. They would do terrible things to children. Even of their own children. And so, it was a wicked city. And so God wanted them to go, he said, preach against it because their wickedness had come up before me. And so Jonah, instead of going towards Nineveh, he runs the complete opposite way. But Jonah ran from the Lord and he headed towards Tarshish. Now Tarshish is this land present day right now. It's in the coast of Spain. So it's a complete opposite and it's 2,000 miles away from where he's at, from Nineveh. From Nineveh, going to Nineveh, 2,000. How many know that's a long way to go? Even if you had a boat that would cruise or a car that would go or a plane, and they didn't have that then. And so he goes the opposite direction. Instead of going southwest, he goes southwest. And he says, I'm not going to the wicked people. And he went down to Joppa. He keeps walking away. And I think he went that far away. So if he ended up there, God would say, man, you're just too far to do the will of God now. I can't get you back. You ever go so far, like God, you told me to do that, but I'm going to go do this. I'm going to be so far away from you that you can't even, now, if I make up my mind to do it or if you tell me to do it, I'm still not going to be able to do it because it's that far away. And that's what Jonah wanted to do. And he was a prophet of God. And then he continues. Here's what happens. And then he's on this boat. And so the Lord sent this great wind. Now, who sent the wind? The devil? The Lord. So God will send something to save you. He does that. And you say, well, no, the devil's after me. No, God does stuff so it can save. The result will be good still. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so the result was good here. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to be broken up. All the sailors were afraid and they cried out to their own little G, their own little God. They were lighting velas and candles and the little statues, and they were monitos and they were bowing back and forth and they threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship's load. See, every decision that you make costs you something, good or bad. And every wrong decision that you make is going to cost other people something. It's going to bring impact. It's going to cause something to happen if you make a wrong decision, not only for your life, but even legacy at times. And you know it, and I know it too. And so, but Jonah had gone down below, the Bible says, to the deck, and he laid down and he fell asleep. How can all that be happening upstairs and the brother goes down and sleeps? I'll tell you how it happens. You're so far away from God and doing what God told you that you don't even listen anymore. God, it doesn't even faze you. You're just going through the forms and motions, and God's not around. Would you come back to your first love today? Would you come back again to saying, God, I'm hearing your voice today? And every decision that we make, it makes us. It's making us the people that we are. Decisions will either draw you closer to God today, and you made the right decision. You came to church. Amen. Amen. And so things are going to be better. But how many know Monday is going to happen? And you're going to need to make another decision because you can't live on day-old bread. You got to get some fresh bread, right? You can rent me. I'm kind of cheap, and I can come to your house and preach. How's that? On Monday morning. That way you get it again. Amen. No, you don't need that. You can open up the Bible. You can be devoted to God's Word. You can have your own communion in your home today. You can put on a worship on YouTube and put a playlist of just songs of faith. Amen. The band will come to you, right, everybody? Amen. We can all make decisions that draw us closer to Jesus in this room when we're not at church, right? And so draw close to God. The storm happens and the crisis happens, and Jonah is going to be thrown overboard. He said, you know, take me, I can do it. How do you recover when you made a bad choice and you're asleep and all hell's breaking loose upstairs? This is how Jonah recovered. I believe he did this. Number one is this, or the asterisk says this. Take responsibility for your bad choice, right, everybody? Jonah wakes up, and this is what he says to the sailors. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. And I know that it's my fault. Yeah, I take ownership. I'm owning up. I'm being a man today. That great storm has come. I'm not going to blame anybody. You're not going to get anywhere by blaming people for your problem. Amen. They may have had something to do with it, but you got to own up to it. You were there too. Amen. And so the great storm has come upon you. So the first step that you need to take is take the responsibility for the bad choice. Get to the right place. I love what Proverbs says, which was real wise in the Living Bible. It says this, a man who refuses to admit his mistake, or can I say a woman also, a person of God, admits his or her mistakes, just to jab you a little bit more, can never be successful. But if they confess and forsake them, they will get another chance. The God of the second chance. So they did it. They threw old Jonah overboard, and he falls into the water, and he's thrown overboard. And so he's about to jump from the frying pan into the fire. And God still loves him. God still wants to save him. So he creates this big fish. And we don't know if it was a whale or just a big fish, large enough to hold a man inside its belly. And God was ready for Jonah because God is ready for all people that are willing to turn and take responsibilities for bad choices. And he throws him into that fish, and God saved him because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of just redemption. And God used the salvation of this big fish to save him. And he says, God created this fish large enough. But can you imagine being in a fish? This fish could not eat anything or could not pass anything for 3 days with Jonah inside. That fish is in a rough place, isn't it? How about old Jonah? Jonah turns to God in the belly of the fish. And this is where he cries out in the darkness. There's no light. There's probably stuff floating around him in that big belly of the whale. Maybe other fish. And he repents. Here's the second thought. Asterisk the slide or right there. Repent from your heart, right? And turn away from the bad choice that you made today. Jonah 2:9 on the bottom of the screen. And this is what Jonah cries out in the belly of the whale. He says, the belly of the great fish says, I have vowed and I will make good on it. I've done wrong and now I'm going to do what's right. God told me and he gave me an assignment. He gave me a purpose. He gave me a call. I relented from that, but not anymore. I'm going to do what God told me to do, and God's going to be with me. I sense faith rising in the sanctuary at Living Faith Church, right, everybody? And that's why Acts chapter 3, 19, you haven't had any fun all day. As faith is rising, let's make it rise. Your voice right now on three. Let's read it together. Acts 3, 19. 1, 2, 3. Go. Repent then and turn to God. That the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Bruce Wilkerson wrote this great thought, and he wrote the Jabez Prayer. Repentance means you change your mind so deeply that it, God, forgive me. Well, what happens after you say, forgive me? You go back. No, you don't go back to it anymore. You go, God, forgive me, and I'm never going back to that again. That wickedness, that place where I was. I want to go forward in what God has for me. And there's no place in your rearview mirror that you'd see that. Turn away and go the right direction. Go north, young man, go north. Right, everybody? The big fish vomits him on dry land. That fish said, I don't ever want another human being inside me because I couldn't go for 3 days. I'm gonna not vomit him into the sea. I'm gonna vomit it on dry land so this guy doesn't wind up in another fish's belly. That's how bad. Nobody wanted Jonah at that moment. Can you imagine after 3 days of being in there how he looked? Fear of man. Who's going to want me now? Not even the fish wanted me. And Jonah could have been divine. Stinky fish, you know, smelling like, who's going to want me smelling like this and looking the way I am? I don't want you to let a bad choice define you. Jonah didn't, because he was forgiven by God, and you shouldn't either. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. God sees you as a forgiven member of his family if you've asked for forgiveness today. You got to forgive yourself. He sees you not tattered. He sees you in a robe of righteousness today. Put his best on you today. You define yourself in the eyes of Jesus today, not in the eyes of man today. Amen? And that's why you need to embrace yourself in God's grace today. Right, everybody? Who wants you now, Jonah? Well, God wants me. God will chase you down today. With his grace, right, everybody? God of the second chance, amen. You messed up so much, God's not going to want you. No, if God can forgive Jonah in the belly of a fish, he can forgive you too. Amen. If you just ask for it today. My little boy, when he was little, now he can, you know, hold me and probably throw me for a touchdown, amen. When I used to... As the baby of the family, he would, I would come home being a youth in Ohio, and he was still in diapers at that time. And, you know, Irma was getting ready lunch, and she was at home during that for those first years of our baby's lives. And I remember I'd come home and I'd see Andrew in the soggy diaper. You know those diapers that hang? Come on, you never let your kid do that? It's a rite of passage, right? And so I'd come home and I'd see him, and sometimes it wasn't just soggy, there was some other stuff in it. And, you know, it kind of, you know, he was stinky and full of stuff, you know, and he would reach towards me and he would go like that because he really didn't talk. He didn't talk until he was like 2, amen, or something was going on, until he was 12, right? Y'all remember the miracle of Andrew Nava? Now he talks and he's like his mama, give me a good amen, ooh, no. And he was reaching towards me. I can't go home today. Y'all help me now. So I come home, and, I'd be all clean, nice, working, you know, and he'd come and reach towards me, you know, like this. And he would be all stinky and, you know, full of, and I'd go, you know, I couldn't resist my boy. Man, I picked him up, all soggy, stinky diaper and all, and I'd be holding him. And that's not even a perfect father, because no one is, but see, that's the heart of God. If you reach towards God, God forgive me, God help me. God will reach towards you, beloved. He lifts you up, he holds you. Stinkiness and all, just like Jonah, full of seaweed, right, everybody? In Jonah chapter 3, it said the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what? Because God reaches back towards us again a third time. Grace will run you down, it will chase you down, it will meet you at the bottom, and it will take you to the top, amen? And never let you go today. In the 1700s, in the Atlantic Ocean, There was a ship sailing from the African coast to the coast of, you can turn it back towards the slide. It'll be there. That way we're not confused. And just if that's okay with you guys in the back there, if you can, just progress with me today. In the 1700s in the Atlantic Ocean, there was a ship headed towards the Caribbean coast of the Americas. And on it, below the deck, were beautiful men and women that were enslaved from Africa. And they were crying out to God to help them. And on deck was a slave trader that had gotten so greedy and gotten so hard towards the things of God that he didn't know that a praying mama in England was praying for him. God, save my son, have mercy on him, and save him once again. And a storm rose so hard that captain thought everyone was going to be lost. All of his possessions, all of the other sailors, all of the beautiful people down below that were chained together. And he could hear their groans down below. And they were moaning. Because they were in pain. They were stacked together like logs. And the song of sorrow began to develop, and a song of pain began to develop, and a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. That day, a song was born in John Newton's life. And John Newton was that wicked man that enslaved all those precious beings, all those precious children, all those precious men and women, and enslaved them to make a profit in the Americas to sell them. And God, he cried out to God because his life was going to be gone, and his mama was praying, and you can't outrun a mama or daddy's prayer, right, everybody? Amen. And God heard that mama praying, and he cried out to God, and a song was born in his heart called Amazing Grace. I was once blind, but now I see. And John Newton not only was forgiven that day, but he could have made the prayer and gone back into what was wicked, but he stopped becoming a slave trader. And he rose and said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn from it. And his life story is he led the movement to abolish slave trade. And he was there when it happened in England, and it happened in the Americas, and we had a great war because of it. And he never wanted it. See, if God can forgive John Newton, God can forgive you. If God can give amazing grace to John Newton, can God give it to us? He's not a respecter of persons today. Amen. And so God embraced him, and God embraces you today. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this in verse 16 on the big screen or in your handout. Let's read it together on three. One, two, three, go. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy. You ain't all that, but because we got mercy, we got something. Give me a good amen. And thank God for your shout, your buck, and whatever you may do. But thank God for the grace of God. When I needed help, God gave it to me. How about you? I'm broken, but God blessed me. Amen. I don't want the bad choices to disqualify you from the race that you're supposed to run today. I don't need, I'm called of God. And Jonah could have quit right there and could have said, no, I was in a fish and God did this and felt sorry and had a pity party for himself. But you know why we hear about Jonah? We hear about Jonah because he asked, he repented, and then he changed. And that's the reason, or he would have been out of the book. Jesus validates Jonah by saying, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so will the Son of Man be in the tomb for 3 days. And so it wasn't a fairy tale that happened. And Jesus validated him because of what he did, his choice. And the same thing, you must make a choice today. All things work together for those that love God and called according to his purpose. Right, everybody? So if Jonah was here, I think Jonah would tell us, look, I don't want you to go through what I went through. I don't want to go through what Jonah went through. How about you? The water's too cold to be thrown in there, right, everybody? It's too dark to go in the belly of a fish. So how do I safeguard against making bad choices today? I believe they're real practical, and many of you know them, but let's just remind us to go back to our first love. The first principle is this. Use God's word to what? Yeah, it's the playbook of life. It's my guidance today. Again, it tells me how to live. It tells me how to be successful. It's the best self-help book that was ever written. Number one in the top seller, right, everybody? Well, it has all those thou shall nots in it. It has all those things. I can't do this or that. You know why God said thou shall not? Because he wanted to protect you as a loving father. No, son, don't stick your hand in that light socket. Your toddler, you're walking, you're barely getting there. No, mijito, I don't want you to do that because you're going to get shocked and it's going to knock you back, amen? And it's going to dry the diaper up finally, amen? God put thou shall nots in his word because he didn't want us to hurt and he didn't want us full of pain. And I said, I want you to be protected. The Bible is a no limits book in the sense of freedom in Christ today, not to sin, but to obey God. God's word will guide you to God's will today. Right, everybody? That's why Psalms 119:05 on the screen and in your handout. Your word, the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So you study God's word, and thank God for a devoted people that look at God's word. And a verse will do you, but will you get into the verse? Will you let it scan you? Will you let it take apart the things? Will it let it speak to you today? Devote yourself to God's word so you make right choices, because the choices you make will flow from God's word today. It matches, it aligns itself to God's word. Holy Spirit, it confirms it. Which leads me to the second thought. Ask the Holy Spirit for what?
Wisdom,
right, everybody? I love John 16 at the bottom. 13, it says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to align itself. It's going to guide you in all truth. It's going to align itself with God's word. Well, I really like her. I really like her. Well, she's somebody else's wife. That's not of God. And it's going to, the beep, beep, beep. Don't do that, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. It's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. It's going to, well, that's somebody else's husband. You can't have him. Amen. Wisdom will come, right, everybody? The word of God today. I found the story of Secretariat, how he had won in the 1970s. See, in the 70s, there was this thing going on where the news was focused on. And some of you, again, if you have gray hair like this, Miss Clairol won't do you, right, everybody? You're going to remember the 70s with me. But there was this super horse. And the news at that time, before this horse started running and winning, it was focused on Vietnam, Watergate, a president that was in scandal. You might say, well, that sounds like today, no? There was gas pump lines that were circled. You thought it happened because somebody put something on the internet back then. You better get gas, and it caused a gas rush on all the pumps. No, that even happened when we were around driving our Model Ts, young people, right, everybody? Ford Pintos were cool back then, right? And so when the news happened, this horse came along and changed everything. It changed everything because there began to be good news. This horse just started winning, and it won the Kentucky Derby and then the Preakness. And then when it won the Preakness, they said, can he win the Belmont? Because no horse has won the Belmont like in decades now. And this horse had a way about him that it would just go after it. As soon as the bell would ring, it would light up and it would streak towards the finish line. And they thought, well, this other horse, it's a competitor named Sham. Sham's going to catch up to him because the Belmont is a long distance course, and there's no way that Secretariat can keep up that great pace. And so in Job chapter 39, verse 19, not on the big screen, but the Word of God says this: Job was about to have to brace himself because God was going to speak to him. He had questioned God, and this is how God speaks to him. He said, "Brace yourself, Job." And he says this in Job 39: "Job, do you give the horses their strength? Do you put their flowing manes on their neck? Do you make them jump like locusts? They terrify others with their proud snorting. They paw at the ground wildly. They're filled with joy. They charge at their enemies. They laugh at fear. And they are not afraid of anything. They do not run away from swords. Many arrows rattle at their sides. Flashing spears and javelin are also there. But they are excited to run over the ground. And they cannot stand still at the trumpet's blow. When they hear the trumpet sound, they snort, ah, and they smell the battle from afar, and they hear the shouts of the commanders and the battle cry." Let's see what happens when Secretariat runs with Sham at his side in the Belmont stakes here, and the Triple Crown takes place. And they're going to try to get that for me, and it is a blessing because of what they're doing back there to make it happen.
Horses now loaded in.
Afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. He cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds.
Oh! The lead is now 24 lengths.
Run it, run it, run it.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Don't you, isn't that worth seeing again? I mean, when we saw it, we've seen this before, but it's become like a life. If I go preach somewhere else, I'm going to use this sermon. Is that okay with everybody? They may not be able to sew secretariat, but because of what they have capable. But when I love to turn around when I'm riding my bike on the Leon Valley or Leon Creek Greenbelt thing, because I don't like anybody to pass me. I do the same thing. I've learned it from secretariat. But when they do pass me, I give them a dirty look. Is that okay? Especially if they're older than me. There's no way you're going to pass Nava on that. But I love the story of secretariat because it makes you marvel at a great God that created such an animal. And God created an animal like that. Not that we would worship secretariat, but we would say, God, you're great. And the creation now makes us think, God, God's been good, and look what God has done, right? And when Jack Nicholson saw this, the famous golfer, and he was watching it in the 70s on his screen like many of us did at that moment, tears were coming out of his eyes because he was just marveling. And when they re-showed it on ESPN, a woman said, it makes you think, thank God, what has God done through this horse and how he works through even animals and that sort of thing. When Secretary did run his final race, a few races beyond this, they put him out to stud. Amen? That's a good thing for guys, right, everybody? Because they wanted him to make more champion, more horses, and he did, and he has with his bloodline. When he died, his owner wanted an autopsy, so they did an autopsy on his heart. And most racehorses have a 9-pound heart because of what they do and how they run. Secretariat's heart was 18 pounds, and they said, "Well, it wasn't diseased. It was just the heart that he had and the way he ran any other horse." They said if he would have ran that pace again for another half a mile, his heart would have literally exploded in him, his trainer said. But Secretariat's heart, I believe, was big because it's a picture of God's people. See, your heart should be big. And our heart enlarges because we love God's people. We love God, and it makes us love God's people. And we get a bigger heart for people when we hang out with God and we do what God's told us to do. And that's why Jonah could go to Nineveh and preach the gospel and have the greatest revival that was ever known. Everyone got saved when Jonah preached. And the land was, God said, don't preach again. God ended up preaching with them, right, everybody? And so God would tell you today, if you're weary in your well-doing as a believer, would you do what Secretariat has? Have a bigger heart. How do I get a bigger heart? Well, you get a bigger heart by the presence of God in your life. And you plug into the presence of God, and it gives you a bigger heart to do the things of God today. Right, everybody? Finally, I have just this to say, because I believe if Jonah was here, he said, this is a mistake I made, guys, and I don't want you to make it, Living Faith. Seek godly counsel. See, when God's voice came to Jonah, and he jumped the ship to go to Joppa, I don't see anyone around Jonah. He was like this isolated person. He was like this on his own. That's why small groups are so important, that you should attend one this week. That nobody spoke to Jonah, you're making the wrong decision. There was no counsel around him. He just went ahead and did what he did. And I believe Jonah would tell us all, seek godly counsel when you're doing what you're supposed to do. You show me your friends and I'll show you your destiny. Jonah would run one more lap with us, and he said, this is real important when you're making the decisions of life, so you don't make a bad choice today. And so in Proverbs 13, 20 on the screen, come on, you had a lot of fun all day, but you can have a little bit more with me. Here we go. He who walks with the wise grows, but a companion of fools, up there being a fool, amen, you're going to suffer harm today. I think it lines up in three ways, and it's this way. Are my choices God honoring? What I'm about to do, does it honor God? Or does it shame God? Does it shame His call? Does it do that right now? Ask God when you make that decision. The second thing, how will this affect my spiritual health? You're either on mission with people or you're going to be on mission to people. And when you're on mission with people, it's like this. There's this passion. And they go like, come on, man, we can win. We can do this thing. We can take the city for Jesus. We can take the community for Christ. We can build a clothing closet. Yeah, we can do that. We have faith to do that. We can build. We can do what it takes. We can feed the students of John Jay. We can reach people in Donna, Texas. We have that passion. Are you going to be people? You know, we're on mission. You're going to have to go reach them. You need people that are passionate around you because it will improve your spiritual health. Go, 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 man. Let's get this thing done, right? We can get it done. We don't have any sadness. We got to go forward in this thing, right, everybody? We weep for the night, but joy comes in the morning, right, everybody? And finally, the decision that you make. How will this decision affect the people closest to me? What will the legacy show of your children, of your great-grandchildren, because of the decisions that you make today to live for God or not to live for Him, to obey God today? Amen? I believe that your struggle should be over. I believe that right now you should get on to the winning aspect of God and what God would have for you. You win, you don't lose in this life because God is with you, right? And so do you receive the word of God today? In the name of Jesus, would you bow with me right now? And we pray to God, and then we're still before the Lord right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, you have your best for the people of God. And I proclaim and I declare over their life, Lord, the outcome, the struggle is over in the name of Jesus. Their struggle, Lord, their healing takes place. Touch that mind, Father. Stop that cancer from taking over in the name of Jesus. We speak wellness and wholeness right now. Thank you, Father, that tormenting spirit has to leave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, that self-esteem problem. They forgive themselves this hour right now. Thank you, Father. Pride must go in the name of Jesus. That religious spirit has no place in this church in Jesus' name. Gather those that are meant to be around us now in the name of the Lord and dispel those that are meant to be dispelled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've made a bad choice in life. As a believer, as a person that's blood-bought in this room, you're in a storm right now. God is turning towards you. He's not running away. We ask for forgiveness right now. Come to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come to you, Lord, and forgive us, Lord, for making that bad choice. You had spoken to us, Lord. This is bearing witness right now with everybody. Forgive yourself because God forgives you. You made confession right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I always want to give you an opportunity because you may have said, what happened? I feel this in my even the pit of my stomach that I'm not right with God. I'm convicted. I'm not comfortable right now. I've never been in a place like this. Or I used to remember, but I'm far away from God. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You're far away from God. This is your moment today. And your heart's beating fast right now as I keep speaking. And it's not to embarrass you because I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in a moment, just slightly. I'm going to note your hand right where you're at. God meets you. God's going to meet you right where you're at. You make a sinner's prayer with me. We'll call upon the name of the Lord and He'll save you right now. All the sinners that are saved by grace right now, we're going to pray it with you. But today, call upon the name of the Lord. Today, you're far away from God. You've never said yes to Christ today. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly and I'll lead you in a prayer right where you're at. If that's you, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Yes, I see your hand too. You can put it down, beloved. Amen. Once you've raised it, I see your hand. You can put it down. Yes, amen. About 3 or 4 people lifted their hand towards heaven and God met them right now. Amen. God's meeting them right now, right where they're at today. They mean it today. They're going to pray this prayer loud enough. If you lift your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. And the sinners that are saved by grace and the chief sinner on the platform, which is me, the chief sinner, he's going to pray it loud. He's going to pray it with you today. We're all going to pray this prayer. You're my brother. You're my sister. We join you. We pray together right now. We pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You paid such a great debt. You died on the cross for me and took away all my sins. I am forgiven. I am new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God's been good to me. Yes, Lord. And now fill the people with your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. One more prayer, just your hands lifted slightly above your lap, everybody, if you can, or put it on your heart. Just I proclaim this over your heart today. I speak it into your life. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you his peace. Thank you. This is the way we bless the sons and daughters at Living Faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes. Hasn't God been good to four people in this room? Yes. Amen. Let's celebrate new life at Living Faith. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's a connection card in front of you. It may not be right in front of you, but you might reach for it. You might say, hey, neighbor, get that for me, that yellow card, that card that said connect. Amen. Get that card and fill that out. Write it out. If there's a prayer request that you have, just as an attender, a member of Living Faith Church, Erman, I want to know about that so we can pray. We can agree with you today. Growing in faith happens, especially if you lifted your hand at 9 a.m. every Sunday. It happens in our student center. It's taught by one of our best teachers. Laura Collier teaches that class. Laura, you're here. She's on our second row. If you see Laura, she'll give you more information. It's free. Free's good, right? And so you want to go to that class and be part of it at 9 a.m. next Sunday. You have a couple of more weeks that you can do that in July, and that'll be good for us today. Amen. And we're going to receive our tithe and offering and thank the Lord. We're giving to God first because we give to God first today. Amen. I don't usually do this, but I just feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. I only need one person to do this, and maybe there's a bunch of you, but I guess the first one that I'll ask to do this is just this. God's been really good to you, so good to you, but you can't help but to return to the house of God and give thanks to him today. And you have a testimony. It doesn't need to be long, because if you get long, we're not going to invite you back. The short-winded will be invited. Praise band, why don't you come up? Worship team, come up. But if that's you today and you're part of Living Faith Church and you're a member, you serve here, would you just say, I want to testify about how God's been good to me? If that's anybody in the house, you're a member here, you serve. Who's the first person to do that? Just let me know. Lupita, amen. You want to come up? And Sophie, I'll take two, a double hitter today. Come on up and testify of God's goodness in your life as we receive the tithe and offering, as we get ready. Hold your tithe in your hand as they proclaim this word. Both of y'all come up, because it's going to be short and sweet. Give me a good amen. It's going to be real short and sweet. Give me a good amen. Amen, everybody. And so hold your tithe in your hand and get ready, because they're going to testify over the goodness of the Lord, and then we'll pray a blessing upon your tithe and offering. Why don't you go first? Go ahead. And then.
Okay. About almost 2 months ago, my daughter gave birth to her second child, which is my fourth grandchild. He was born with some complications, and he was in the NICU. It was a touch and go for a moment, and God just did a miraculous. We thought we were going to lose him, but no, he's here now. He's already a month and a half, going on 2 months, and I thank the Lord for that. And we have my grandson's doing better. He's out of the hospital. He's already eating. And they took off the breathing tube. And it was a touch and go.
What's his name?
Manolo.
Manolo. What a good name. Thank you, Jesus, for Manolo. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you are.
I want to praise the Lord, because he is an awesome God. He gave me parents that gave their 10%.
Yes.
They were on Social Security. Medicare, Medicaid, and they gave their 10%, and they taught that to us, and we give. And I had an opportunity to be with my son and my family this past month, and I praise God because they're givers. They love the Lord, and I would wake up and I would see my granddaughters, my son and my daughter-in-law reading the Bible. They read the Word of God, and I praise God, because what we do, it goes to our next generation.
Amen.
So as we give, it'll go to our next generation. So amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Stay up just for a moment. Amen. Bless the Lord for that testimony. I believe, as Lupita prayed and her testimony, and then Sophie right now, that there's a legacy that's happening, and there's legacy all through this room. Some of your children are serving in our children's church, and they're on the platform, of course, and so it goes on. And the children that were reading the Bible that Douglas and Sophie noted in Florida, amazing. Amen. I want that upon my children. How about you?
Amen.
I want my children to serve God, and they are, but I need them to continue with the walk of God, and that's what we all want. So as you hold your tithe in your hand and your love offerings today, thank God for the word that went forth right now, the testimony. Thank you. Sister Cochran, just bless the people as they give today. Thank you. Would you bless them a prayer blessing?
Abba, Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, Lord Jesus, Lord. I thank you that we've got so much blessings because you are the blesser, Lord. You bless us so that we can bless others, Lord Jesus. I pray that you touch each and every person here, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you, Lord Jesus, would open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour them out blessing after blessing, Lord Jesus, Lord, whether it be financial, spiritual, Lord Jesus, or in their bodies, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you help us to stand firm on your word, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the blessings, and bless all my brothers and sisters here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to worship God in our giving. If you're giving, we have planters. If you're visiting for the first time, we want you to receive. This is our gift to you. We pay the light bill. Amen. We keep the place open because you came today. We wanted to make it an extravagant welcome for you today. Thank you, Jesus. We stand to our feet, worship God in our giving.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. Meet me here today, the mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, 'cause they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, my heart's set on you. We be here today, mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, 'cause they can't stay long. True.